As Jonathan was saying, we're kicking off a summer series in John's Gospel. We're looking at the first three chapters over the next few weeks across the summer. This is a book written by one of Jesus's close disciples. And in writing this, he's going to tell about Jesus's life here on earth, but not just in a sort of academic, oh, I've read this biography, now I know a bit more about Jesus. What John is really wanting to do is to show his readers that this is the meaning of life, that, as he says at the end, that his readers may believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and through believing, have life in his name. That's John's desire in writing this. So we're going to be looking right back at the beginning of John, these first nine verses, as he kind of kicks off. But before we dive in, let me pray, and then we'll look at this passage. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses that you inspired John to write 2,000 years ago. We pray that as we look at them today, that you would open our hearts to hear you speak to us, that you would reveal yourself to each of us, so that we may each believe in your Son, and through believing in him, have eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can keep your Bibles open at page 1063, you should also have one of these very stylish pink handouts. That will help you see where we're going. And yes, there are 7 points, but we will move through them quickly as we go this morning. The question is, how can we know God? How can we know what he's like? Because we can't see him. He doesn't talk to us in the same way as we would talk to each other. We don't know what he looks like. So are we left guessing what he's like? Are we to sort of create our own view of God and go along with that? How can we know God? Well, as Christians, we believe that God has revealed himself to us, that in this, the Bible, that we can not only know about God, but that we can know God himself. And as I say, when John is writing this, that's his idea, that we can know God, and that is what he's wanting to do. So with that said, we come to the passage, and sort of, it seems all a bit cryptic. We sort of have the beginning, as Gareth read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, when Gareth was reading that, there was probably sort of two sets of responses that you might have been having, and they're kind of similar responses to if someone asks you a cryptic crossword clue. Now, for some of us, have absolutely no idea about cryptic crosswords. Someone says, five down, six letters. Capital city wants new leader to bring colour. We think, what on earth is he talking about? I have absolutely no idea. While there's others of us who are cryptic crossword experts, and they're going, ah, yes, the answer is Siena. No idea why. That is the answer. And it's similar here. There's people, if we sort of have heard this passage before, we go, okay, yeah, I know what's going on here. When John talks about the Word, he's meaning Jesus. And yes, you'd be right. But the question is, one, how do we know he's talking about Jesus? And why is he referring to him as the Word here? Why not just say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God? Or use any of those other titles that we had in that first song. Why not, in the beginning was the priest, and the priest was with God, and the priest was God? Why is he choosing to use the Word? The answer to the first question, how do we know he is talking about Jesus, is found in the same way sometimes we find the answer to cryptic crossword answers. It's at the bottom of the page. So in verse 14, if you look down with that, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here he's talking about the Son, about Jesus, and that's that. That's the easy question. Second one, why does he refer to him as the Word? I guess it goes back to the question, how can we know God? How can we know one another? It's difficult to get to know someone in any meaningful way unless they choose to speak to us. So I was on a flight back from Greece a couple of weeks ago, and I was sat next to this middle-aged man, and he had absolutely no interest in speaking to me at all. Admittedly, I didn't have great interest in speaking to him, but he definitely did not want to speak to me. So we sat in silence for the three-hour flight. Now, at the end of the flight, what did I know about this man? Not very much. I knew that he liked three sugars in his black coffee, that he was wearing a white shirt, and that he'd found the in-flight magazine about as uninspiring as I had. But now, if you think, on the other hand, if he had decided to speak to me, that over those 3 hours, I would have got to know him much more. I could have found out about his family, where he was from, what he was doing in Greece, what he thought of the Greek debt crisis, and so on and so on. You see, it's through our words that we express ourselves. It's how we reveal ourselves. It's that outward expression of our inner thoughts. And that's John's idea here. In the Word of God, God is expressing himself. He's revealing himself to us. And so in describing Jesus as the Word of God, he's declaring that we can know God through Jesus, that Jesus is God's ultimate self-disclosure. And to his original readers back in the first century, this was probably less of a sort of bizarre, unfamiliar idea as it is to us, because it links back to the Old Testament, when there they sort of thought about how does God express himself there. It's often they think of God's word as the way he expresses himself. So in creation, how did God create the world? He spoke it into being. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the waters separate. And similarly, how did God reveal himself to his people? He would speak. God has said to speak to the prophet Isaiah. Or elsewhere we read, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. So here's this idea that God is expressing himself. He's revealing himself through his word. And that by understanding Jesus, by understanding the word of God, we get to know God. We see his character because God is revealing himself in Jesus. So what do we see about the word? So this is now the second bit on the sheet where we kick into these seven bullets. We will move through them very quickly. So having established that Jesus is the word of God, what is John wanting us at the beginning of this gospel? He's setting the context for the rest of the story. He's going, look, Jesus, the word, this is my main character. This is the focus. These are the things I want you to know right at the beginning. So very quickly, number one, the word is eternal. So verse one, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So you see, there was never a time when Jesus didn't exist. This language calls back to mind Genesis 1. He's saying right back then, right back when God created the world, the word of God, Jesus was there. So it's not that Jesus became the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. He was always there with God in the beginning. Secondly, the word is God. So end of verse 1, and the word was God. So not only was Jesus right back at the beginning, but he is God. All that God is, Jesus is. So Jesus, the man who walked this earth, was fully God. He was God in human form. Thirdly, the Word is the creator of all things. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So everything that exists owes its existence to the Word, to Jesus. So me, you, everything else was made through him. So this is our Creator God. Fourthly, the Word is life. Verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This is just building on that previous point, that on him being the creator, he's the one who gives life. He's the source of life, the origin of life, the giver of life, the sustainer of life. Fifthly, the word is witness to. So this is verses 6 to 8. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So here, Jesus' public ministry on earth begins with the witness of John the Baptist. Different John than the author. But this was a man sent from God to testify, to point towards Jesus, going, "This is the one you should be following. This is the one to believe in. This is the Son of God." And you see, as the book progresses, John the writer is going to introduce more and more people, more and more events, more and more miracles that point, that build this evidence to support the claims that he is making about Jesus here. So in this introduction, he's alluding to the fact that this word is going to be witnessed to, that there's going to be this evidence to support his claims of who Jesus is. Now we're on to number 6. So the last verse that we had read, the word is coming into the world. So the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So the word coming into the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth as a human being. So you see, as we look at those first 6 together, we see that as John is painting this staggering picture of Jesus, he's saying, this Jesus that I'm writing about, this Jesus I'm telling you about, he's eternal. He's God. He's the creator of all things. He's the source of life. He's the one who sustains me and you. And this is the Jesus that came to earth 2,000 years ago. I've left the hard one for number 7. If you look back at verses 4 and 5, we see the word is light-giving. So in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. One commentator described verse 5 as a masterpiece of planned ambiguity. Now, as someone who's about to speak on a passage, that's not really what you want to read. The ambiguity comes at the end of verse 5. So it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then it's got this little A that says, have a look at the footnote. And then it says in the footnote, or the darkness has not overcome it. Now, understood it and overcome it sound quite different. So what is going on? Which one is John trying to mean? Well, the good thing is he means both. He's probably the best way to think about it is in terms of master it. So when we use that term, I can master something physically, so I could wrestle it to the ground, and I've mastered it. I can also master something sort of intellectually. I can master ancient Greek, or I can master microbiology. And John is deliberately here speaking on these two levels. So the first level, he's continuing his idea of creation, which is probably how, when we first read it, we think of it. He's talked in verse 4 about life and light, and this is all creation. The light shines in the darkness. Well, who wins? Well, when it's dark and we put the light on, it becomes light. So light overcomes the darkness. But that doesn't make much sense in terms of understanding it. Darkness doesn't understand light when we're just thinking about these. And this is why he's got the second meaning going on. What he's doing here is introducing one of his big themes in the book. It's this contrast between darkness, by which he's meaning evil and sin, and light. And that's that rescue from darkness that comes through Jesus. To see this, let's flip over the page to chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, over 2 pages. So verse 19 of chapter 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. You see, without Jesus, we're living in darkness. But he says, the light shines, the light is coming. Do we understand this light? Do we understand Jesus? and the light that he brings. Jesus, John, quoting Jesus later in his book, says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus, the Word of God, provides a rescue from the darkness, a rescue from our sin. He's offering a new life, a life in relationship with him, in relationship with the God who made us. And this is a theme that John's going to develop through the rest of the book, that we can have this relationship with God. We can know God through his Son. So then, in closing, how can we respond to this God? How can we get to know God? So we see we can get to know him through his Son Jesus Christ. There is no guessing. God has revealed himself in the pages of the Bible through his Son Jesus. We can know him. And in these first opening verses of this book, John is establishing the context for what is going to follow. He's saying, okay, the main character here is Jesus. This is what he is. He is the Word of God. He is God. He's the one who created all things. He came to earth as a man. Through this Jesus, we can know him personally. And the question is, do you know him personally? He is longing to speak to you. He is longing for you to know him. It's like being back on that aeroplane, and he's sitting next to you. Now, perhaps you realize who it is, but for whatever reason, you don't want to speak to him. You don't want him to speak to you. Perhaps because you're aware of all the wrong you've done. Or perhaps you think that he'll just tell you what to do, that he'll moralize over you. Perhaps you think, I don't need him. I'd rather sit and read the in-flight magazine. So you try and ignore him and pretend he's not there. Or perhaps you're not deliberately ignoring him. You might not even realize he's there. Or you've just got no interest in him. Either way, can I encourage you to get to know God? There is nothing more important in this life than knowing him. A Christian writer, J.I. Packer, has got a book called Knowing God. He puts it like this. He says, knowing God is crucially important for the living of our lives. As it would be cruel to an Amazonian tribesman to fly him to London, to put him down without explanation in Trafalgar Square, and leave him as one who knows nothing of English, who knows nothing about this country, just leave him to fend for himself. So we are cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. So how can we know this God more? Well, can I encourage you to read the rest of this book of John's Gospel? We've only looked at the first 9 verses here. He's setting this context. But how about you read the rest of it? Get to know God through that. Come back over the next few weeks as we look at the first few chapters. And as you do, as you read that, ask God to make himself known to you. Pray to him. Say, I want to find out. I want to know you. Show yourself to me as I read these verses. And as you read it, you're going to see Jesus, he's going to do miracles. He's going to turn water into wine. He's going to feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, are we to think, oh, this doesn't sound very plausible. No, you're losing me, John. This isn't realistic. No, because what have we seen in this opening bit? This is the creator of the universe. How hard is it for the creator who made all things to turn some water into wine? He's setting this context. He's saying, believe in these things. These things point to who Jesus is. They're not something that's complicated and confusing. And then as you get to the end of John's Gospel, you'll see Jesus dying on a Roman cross. You see that this is the God who made all things, the God who created you, dying a horrible death so that you and me, by believing and trusting in him, might have life. Eternal, everlasting life in relationship with him. Dying so that we can be freed from that darkness and enjoy the light of life, of knowing God personally and having eternal life with him. Now, of course, you might be saying, I do know this God. Look back at these verses. Ask yourself, is this the God you know? Or have you created a different God? Is this the God you know? Is this the God you introduce other people to? Is this the God you tell your friends about? If it is, praise him. What an awesome God. He came to earth to rescue us, to bring us life. And do you long to know him more and more? Do you continue to listen to him speak? Or do we think, I know him well enough. I don't need to hear him anymore. I understand him. You say, I've read this book 1,000 times. Then I'd say, read it again. Read it with someone else. Tell them how God has revealed himself to you through Jesus. Help them see this awesome God that you have. We have an amazing God. He's revealed himself to us. He has made himself known. The Word of God, the Creator of all things, came to earth as a man to rescue us from darkness and give us everlasting life. Let's pray to that God as we finish. Lord God, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us, that through your word, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that we can have a personal relationship with you. We pray that you would reveal yourself to each of us here today, that each of us would long to know you more and more, to be trusting in your great rescue, that you would bring us from darkness into your glorious life, to be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.